This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Today's discussion on a critical topic of the state of palliative care in South Africa. We are privileged to have Dr. Lunganyati, who's the CEO of Aligned. Palliative care plays a crucial role in improving the quality of life for patients who are facing life-threatening illnesses and their families, of course, addressing physical, psychosocial, and also their spiritual needs. And in South Africa, for instance, the rising prevalence of non-communicable diseases and infectious diseases, it does underscore the urgent need for accessible but also equitable palliative care services. And despite the publication of the South African National Policy Framework and Strategy on Palliative Care in 2017, the challenges do remain in integrating these services effectively into the public health system specifically. Dr. Nyati, a pleasure to have you on the program this morning.
Hi, Ndlandla. So great to be on the program. Thank you for having me.
So can you provide an overview of the current state of palliative care services specifically in South Africa, highlighting both achievements but also persistent challenges?
All right. So palliative care, for starters, is not well understood in general globally. And globally, most people don't have access to palliative care. What's great about South Africa is that the Ministry of Health understands the need for palliative care. There is a national coordinator for palliative care for South Africa in the National Department of Health, and the fraternity of palliative care work very well with them. Despite this, though, there has been research that was done mainly outside of UCT that estimates that only 18% of people who need palliative care in South Africa have access to it. It's even worse for South African children because in a study that was done together with UNICEF, it estimated that only 5% of children that need palliative care can access it. So we're not quite where we need to be in South Africa.
So how is the South African National Policy Framework and Strategy on Palliative Care actually impacted the delivery and accessibility of palliative care across different regions of the country?
I mean, you know that in South Africa, one of the challenges we have is that each province is different, and not only is the funding different, but also the delivery model in every province is different. And while the policy framework, what it tries to do is to standardize it and at least speak about what is the acceptable way of managing palliative care in South Africa, while that happens, and that is what it was intended to do, that disparity between the provinces remains. There has been some great that has come out of making sure that there's an increased focus in medicine availability specifically for pain management and some training. But as I said, we're not quite there. Mm-hmm. The picture is different, obviously, in the private sector where there has been work to enable access to palliative care for some of the bigger medical schemes. And more of them now have access. For example, Aligned works very well with the National Department of Health through PAL, the Palliative Care Association of Providers in South Africa, to standardize at least that what is available in public and private, or at least what's intended to be available, is standard.
Dr. Nyati, with that in mind, and also with the increasing burden of non-communicable diseases, but also infectious diseases, how can palliative care services be better integrated into, call it the broader healthcare system, to meet this growing demand?
So perhaps the best way to describe it is that the best way to manage non-communicable diseases is mostly in a primary care setup, where it's either by the clinic or the GP in the private sector. before you even get to specialist care. So by and large, people with non-communicable diseases are managed by those, except for cancer. Some definitions of non-communicable diseases include cancer, and cancer is very different in that it is primarily managed by oncologists, which are specialists. So that's slightly different, but the other non-communicable diseases are managed in primary care, which means that palliative care then, because it is also classified as an essential primary care need, can be integrated. And so if you have general practitioners that know how to manage the condition end to end, including the palliative care management of those diseases, and they know how to work in a team together with palliative care specialists, it should not be difficult to integrate it. The biggest challenge, obviously, is the very integration.
Dr. Nyati, from your perspective, what are the key components that should be prioritized in really improving the training, but also the capacity building of healthcare professionals in the palliative care sector?
Training, which you've said, is itself a big thing. When it comes to postgraduate training in palliative care, it's currently mainly delivered by UCT as a postgrad program. Mm. And so most of the time, only doctors have access to it. It would be great to have even a more basic program that's available to nurses. It would equally be important to have, even if it's acknowledged by either the South African National, South African Nursing Council, or the Health Professions Council, acknowledge palliative care as a subspecialty. Why that's important is that it enables them to work differently with the rest of their peers and also to be remunerated differently. So that's one of the ways. The other way, which is being explored in some of the provinces, are community-based healthcare needs, palliative care solutions. And then in the private sector, as I was saying, one of the things that we're doing is you've got programs. Mm. And if more and more medical schemes work with organizations such as Aligned to allow access to a very nicely defined palliative care product for their scheme members, means that more of the private healthcare sector can have access to palliative care. And then all the things that I spoke about in the public sector, the integrated way that patients can help can be seen. We can all work together to do that.
Yeah. And speaking about working together, how can partnerships between, for instance, the public and private healthcare sectors be enhanced to really improve the delivery, but also the sustainability of palliative care?
Mm. So one of the things I was thinking about a lot lately, actually, is one of the biggest problems in any healthcare system is being able to cost a program, know how much it's going to cost, know how much it's going to save, and know what it entails to actually deliver it. Most of the time, knowing that will enable a policymaker, for example, to make a decision on whether they're going to fund such a program. What we've been able to do at Aligned is have that kind of thing. We know exactly what the program entails, what should be in the basket and not in the basket. We have costed it. We also know how much it can save. And so it makes it easy, at least as a starting point, for provinces to engage with Aligned, and we're not proprietary about this information, and at least determine what a base level of care could look like. Then we can also work together to see to what extent the healthcare professionals that work in the private sector can also see public sector patients as much as is possible. That way, the few palliatively care trained professionals in South Africa can potentially see all of South Africans.
And what innovative approaches or best practices from other countries are we learning in South Africa, or what can we adopt to really enhance our palliative care services?
So there are two things perhaps that I'll mention. The one is hospice-related care. While hospice is a facility, and most patients are wanting to rather be looked after in the home, But hospice care is one of the ways that is a key way of providing palliative care services in other countries. And in South Africa, hospices have been actually a big part. The problem, though, is that most of the hospices have been NGO-funded. Mm. And so enabling access to private sector funding for some of their hospice capacity so that they can subsidize their indigent delivery of care is one of the ways. So hospice is one. And the other is nurse-based, having nurse-based services. What we're piloting actually successfully now is having most of the care being provided by a nurse in the patient's home and the palliatively care trained doctor looking after multiple nurses who are going into their families and they are providing specialist support. So that kind of innovation is very useful. So you don't have to have a doctor in every home, but they can be involved in every care, but nurses are the ones that are in the home.
Dr. Lungi, in your opinion, what are the ethical considerations, but also challenges which are associated with providing palliative care in South Africa, and how can these be addressed?
One of the things that has been a topical conversation, two topical conversations. The one is this advanced care plan. So what often happens in some of the initial conversations when a palliative care doctor is in a home is have conversations with the patient and the family about what their desires are and how they want to have their health care needs seen to all the way till the very end. And most of them put an advanced care plan in place. So it has been a big conversation about can that kind of a healthcare directive be used by healthcare providers to direct the patient. So if a patient says, I do not want to be resuscitated, can they ethically not resuscitate the patient, especially if the patient isn't able to make their own decision at that time and the family disagrees. So you can imagine those ethical considerations. And so there's been talk about figuring out the legal place of an advanced care plan, and equally have been conversations about is this in the realm of euthanasia or not? And what does this mean and what does it look like? So those are some of the ethical considerations. But the most important thing, I think, is unless you have a team of professionals involved in the care of the patient as early as possible, you can't iron any of this out anyway. And so the sooner you can have a team involved with the patient in their journey and their family and all the healthcare providers involved, it becomes much easier to make decisions with the families at a time when it is difficult to make it without the patient.
And Dr. Nyati, looking ahead, what are your hopes and recommendations for the future of palliative care in the country? And what steps can be taken to ensure that stakeholders take or indeed achieve some of these goals that you mentioned?
Well, the fact that we're having the conversation on radio is one of the most important things, because most families don't know what they have access to and what they can have access to. And so what ends up happening is that people end up in an undignified, perhaps, death, in the sense that they die alone and their families aren't there because they're in a facility. And so having conversations like this that are easy to have about death and dying and advanced disease is a key way of improving availability of the service, because patients need to be able to have their voice heard. So that's one of the big things is, can we get comfortable, please, to talk about our desires and our death and death in general. The second thing that for me would be a great goal is for us to standardize. We're not in an age where we need to guess many things. Much research has been done. Programs have been put in place that have value. If we talk, healthcare providers plus policymakers, plus funders, plus medical schemes, we can quickly get to using our resources better because the information is available. And then the third thing that I would say is training of healthcare providers. Mm-hmm. We don't have enough of them. And if we don't then use doctors, let's at least train nurses and recognize nurses and social workers, especially social workers, because they're needed in the community. But, I mean, how many people will tell you what a social worker is and what they do?
So true.
And what they do, you know?
I might get into a bit of trouble with our sales team for this, but I'll give you a plug. Let us know a bit more about Aligned and how we can get in touch with you guys.
Thank you so much for the plug. Aligned is, we have a website, aligned without an E, .co.za. You can find us there. On the website, we've got our call center number. We also have an email address you can get in touch with. You can also get in touch with PALPRAC, which is the Palliative Care Association, and you can listen to HASA's podcast on advancing healthcare, where there is palliative care as a discussion topic. Thank you so much, Ntandla.
Thank you so much, Dr. Lungi Nyati, who's been speaking to us and giving us her invaluable insights into the state of palliative care in South Africa.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.